Hey, well, I'm so thankful to be here. You know, I'm really fortunate and just grew up so privileged just to grow up with absolutely nothing. I'm telling you what, I was like, the poor people knew I was poor. I was dirt poor. But you know what's so awesome is all the way up until I was 10 years old, I did not know that I was poor. I didn't know that I was without. I didn't know anything about it. And then by the time I was 12 years old, I found the glory of God, the presence of God, just to be such a supply and a source for me, because with my mom and my dad, you know, I have a little poem I tell about my family. We actually grew marijuana in our backyard. So I say that my dad grew it, because that's true, and my brother sold it, because he would bag it and actually sell it. My sister smoked it. My mama cooked it, because all of my memories of my mama at the oven, she was drying out the weed. And my dad was such a giver that he had so many friends, okay? So you can imagine, if you got a lot of weed, that's, and you're a giver, you got a lot of friends, okay? So all these people would be over almost every night, school night, it didn't matter. So it was a... it was a fog in there. So I'm just telling you all that because, you know, my mama left with a man whenever I was 9 years old. I was standing at the bay window in our house and watched her leave. So she was literally leaving our family. She left for 3 months. When I was 12 years old, my dad left for good. He never sent a nothing in the mail. But I'm telling you what, I didn't grow up with a broken heart. I didn't grow up empty. I have not been under a suffering or trial or struggle, because what the enemy meant for harm, I'm telling you, God turned it around. And I look to Jesus in my bed at night, in my broken, dirty bed. I would lay and didn't even go to church, but I would say, Jesus, hold me. Jesus, hug me. I look to you. I love you. When I was 16 years old and I left in my $300 car, which I bought for myself, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was with me so strong, and He was the only one, literally, who supported me when I was gone from home. But I'm telling you, I count it a privilege, because I don't look to no man. I've never looked and been in need and wondered, why y'all treat me like that? Why y'all do me like that? Because I don't care how you do me. Jesus will make it all right. Jesus will fix everything. I'm telling you, there's no harm. There's no weapon that will form against you that Jesus cannot fix. But let me tell you this. If you want to pout and if you want to have a pity party, that's all you get. Because Jesus don't go to pity parties. He does not attend the pity party. And so if you pout and if you cry and if you struggle and if you worry and if you fret, Jesus is not with you. Oh, but if you say, I don't know what's happening around me. I know they're all just being crazy. But Jesus, you're with me. And I look to you and I trust you. And I will not fear and I will not fret. But I look to you. I'm telling you, I have a testimony, and I'm not the preacher, but I got a testimony that I could tell you. I have never struggled. I've never been without. I've never wondered how the supply is going to come. Ever since I got back from Rhema as a 20-year-old girl, I'm telling you, the supply has been in my life so steady and so ready. But I'm telling you, when I didn't have something to give, I had my time, and I sowed richly of my time. Glory. And then guess what happens when you're already given your supply, your talent, your time, what you do have? When money starts to flow, it'll just you'll just step into that so naturally, and you'll be such a rich giver. Praise that the blessing of God will be so strong on your life that you'll never do without anything, because God is a good Father. I have an amazing Heavenly Father, and He's so rich and so good. And I'm telling you, if there's anything the devil's beating you up with, you stop the pouting, you stop whining, you stop complaining, you shut your mouth, and you start praising the living God who has made all supply for you. Amen. Glory. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Love you guys. Be
praise
blessed.
Praise God. Praise God. Woo! I tell you what, there is a rich, anointing in this place. When you sense the anointing, you know, you need to say, I receive that. It's mine in Jesus' name. But there is an anointing of wealth. Glory to God. I'm telling you, increase is in this place. Amen. Say, I receive it. It's mine in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, if you were here during the first service, I shared extensively principles from the Word of God on how to receive a harvest, because many times we get our seed in the ground and we just think it's going to be automatic. That, well, my seed's in the ground, that's it. My harvest is supposed to just come and just leap into my hands. You know, but you know, that's not the way it happens. You have to get aggressive when it comes to receiving what belongs to you. And you know, the first revelation I learned from God's word was the prosperity message. I mean, that came alive on the inside of me when I was making minimum wage and a part-time job, trying to take everybody else's hours, and I might get 32 at the end of the week, you know. And then it was like $3 and something, you know, for minimum wage. And I had a revelation of tithing, because, you know, you haven't even started giving until you tithe. Come on. Now, what would happen if I owed Pastor Kenneth $20 and then I said, here, I'm going to give you $10? Yeah. Yeah. Huh? That'd be kind of insulting, wouldn't it? Be like, he'd be thinking, well, thank you, but hey, did you forget something that you actually owe me $20? You know? You know? And so your giving doesn't even begin until you get that tithe in. Amen. You pay your tithe and you give your offering. Amen. Amen. And so the tithe represents the whole. It's showing that you're recognizing God as the source of your total supply. Amen. That he is the one who has brought everything to you that you have, and he will be the one that will bring everything to you that you shall have. Amen. That's what the tithe says. Amen. Now the offering determines the size of your future harvest. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm going to share a little bit along those lines. Pastor, when would you like for me to turn this back over to you, sir? I can do whatever you would like. Just go with it, huh? All right. Well, I can do that. Amen. I just want to make sure I'm staying in line here, because this is a very special time for you. Amen. You know, it took you 11 years to get here. 11 years. That's something to celebrate for. Amen. Glory to God. God, won't you stand up on your feet and shout and praise the Lord. It was a long time to get here. Glory to God. It's been a great 11 years, and it's about to even be a better 11 more years. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But you made it happen. Amen. It's because of you. It's because of your contributions. Amen. Bringing of your supply spiritually and financially through your service. Amen. Just in the waiting room, Kathy was telling me, you know, even if you don't have money, you have time. People don't think about their time as being seed. Your time is seed. Listen, I mean, time is money. Come on. And if you give of your time, man, that will translate into some abundance. That'll translate into a rich harvest for you. Amen. Because if you do faithfully with what God's given you, he's going to reward you with more. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I'm just so blessed. My wife and I, we're so blessed to be here to celebrate with you 11 years of ministry to Kissimmee in Central Florida. Amen. And We're thankful for our relationships with your pastors as well. And we're the same way. When I hear Pastor Kenneth talking, it's my heart, because we're all about supernatural relationships. Amen. And we consider your pastors relationships in our life that are supernatural to us. We're also honored to be here with Pastors Ashley and Marcia. Amen. And for the great vision that they have for this area, amen. And just honored and humbled, really, to just honored, and Pastor Kenneth as well, to contribute any part. Listen, I'm on vacation, but if they did not ask me to preach, I would be sitting somewhere right there listening to him preach. I'm all about the house of God. Amen. And so my heart, I'm not looking for a place to preach, man. I mean, I love to preach. Don't get me wrong. But I would be here if I wasn't invited to preach. I mean, if I wasn't preaching this morning, I mean, I'd be preaching to somebody at lunch. I mean, because I'm a preacher. Amen. You don't have to wait till you get an invitation. Did you know that? Amen. Amen. And so I'm here because I want to be here. I'm honored to be a part of the great vision for this house and the vision that this house has. Glory to God. And while I'm talking, ushers, go ahead. I have a gift for you all. It's a book on righteousness in Christ. And I just want to give that to everyone present this morning. I first had this book printed for our church. I titled it God Loves Post Texas and So Do We. And our church went out and we handed it to every single house in Post Texas. That sounds like a lot, but there's 4,000 population. So it didn't take us that long, you know. But we had a lot of fun doing it. Our goal was every door in four. But we actually ended up doing it like in every door in one or in a half. It went a lot quicker than we anticipated. I had it reprinted because, you know, I just realized that it's more than just our community that needs this message. The world needs this message. Amen. And the church body at large needs this message. And so we've also got this translated already into Vietnamese. And 2,000 copies are being printed as we speak. And I'll be going to Vietnam this October, and those books will be distributed from North Vietnam all the way down through South Vietnam. And as soon as those run out, they told me it would take 4 to 6 weeks to get those all out. And we're not selling them; these are seed, amen, that we're sowing. And it'll take 4 to 6 weeks to get those books out, and then we'll be printing 2,000 or 5,000 more, however many we need to do. But we're just all about getting the word out. Amen. And so I want you to have that as well. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading the 7th verse and then also the 9th verse. Paul says here to the church at Galatia, he says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Don't expect to reap something that you haven't sown for. Don't be deceived in the thinking you can reap something that you haven't sown for." You say, "Well, I'm believing." Well, that's great, you're believing, but believing requires an action. Amen. And we are living under a spiritual law called seed time and harvest. Right. Amen. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a seed. Yes. Right. Amen. Amen. And he said, if you had faith as a seed, you would what? You would say. If you had faith as a seed, you would say unto this mountain, "Be plucked up." All right. So how do I sow my seed? One way is your sowing is in your saying. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. So what good is a seed in your hand? It doesn't benefit until it gets in the soil. Amen. The saying and the speaking part of God's word is the sowing part of God's word. Amen. And, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that and only that shall he reap. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The New Living says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You know, a lot of times, as I said, we think because we have the seed in the ground that it's just going to be automatic, that the harvest is going to come into our hands. Even a farmer who plants a seed and the crop comes up in the field does not mean harvest. Listen to this. Crop in the field does not equate grain in the barn. Crops in the field does not equate to grain being in the barn. You're going to have to go out and reap that harvest in harvest season. Whatsoever a man sows, who does the sowing? God or man? Who is it? Man. That shall he also reap. Who's that talking about? God or the man? So man did the sowing. Man needs to do the reaping. We're going to look at three reasons why people do not have a harvest. Because the Lord actually told me this in 2005, 16 years ago. He spoke this word to me. He said a lot of people, or rather he said my people are getting real good word. He said, but they have no metabolism. You know, the problem is with words of the Lord is sometimes we overcomplicate them. What does metabolism mean? And what, you know, we look it up, and it took me a long time to really finally realize that the Lord simply was saying, my people are getting real word, real good word, but they don't have the spiritual strength to digest that word and bring forth that word into their lives. That something happens between the sowing and the reaping that causes them to give up, cave in, and quit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he said, so my people don't have metabolism or spiritual strength. And you know, Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. All she was lacking was strength. But through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. Amen. Now, that word conceive, not only is it to conceive, but also to give birth to. Amen. It takes strength to conceive it, and it takes strength to receive it. Amen. And so, the number one reason why people don't receive a harvest is simply because they haven't sown seed. Amen. Now, we don't need to spend a lot of time on that because, I mean, your pastor just brought a great exhortation on the importance of seed time. Amen. Okay. And the importance of sowing. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In Galatians there in chapter 6, we saw you reap what you sow. Here in 2 Corinthians 9, we see you're going to reap how you sow. So not only are you going to reap what you sow, but you're going to reap how you sow. Amen. Now what's bountiful to you might be sparing to someone else. And what's a sparing offering to you might be bountiful to someone else. A bell doesn't ring when you get to the right dollar amount and declares it as a bountiful offering. It really, it's not even talking about the dollar amount being bountiful or sparing. It's talking about the heart amount. Amen. That's when the bell rings. Bountiful. Amen. But listen, you have to give in faith. So what's bountiful today, it might be considered sparing next year. And you ought to hope it is. Because if what's bountiful today, God considers bountiful next year, that means you haven't increased. Come on. But what happens is people are increasing. They still think they can keep giving that same dollar amount. And what activated your faith today, it then moving your faith tomorrow. Come on. So we got to make sure we're stepping it up and bumping it up. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you know, we are specifically talking about financially, but this covers every area of life. This is a spiritual law that covers every area. If you want friends, you got to sow friendliness. Amen. Whatsoever good thing a man does, whether he be bond or free, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Amen. Give and it shall be given, it being that which you gave. Amen. You back up there, Luke 6:36, he says, forgive.
Yeah.
That's your seed.
Yeah, that's right.
And it shall be forgiven. There's your harvest.
Yeah.
Huh? We want to start at 38, though.
Uh-huh.
We just want to give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, get it running over, shall men give to my bosom. But we don't want to be one of them men he speaks to give to someone else's bosom.
Yeah.
But that's where it starts. He didn't say, it shall be given, so you can give.
Yeah.
You got to give. And it shall be given. And in fact, you can give all the money you want to. If you're not forgiven, come on. If you're condemning, that giving, your money ain't going to work for you yet. Amen. Come on. But forgive, there's your seed. It shall be forgiven, that's your harvest. Condemn not, that's your seed. See, a seed isn't always something you sow. Sometimes it's something you chose not to sow. Come on. A seed sown isn't always what you... Let me say it this way. A seed sown isn't always something you've done. A seed sown can also be something you chose not to do. I'm choosing not to condemn. And you shall not be condemned. There's my harvest.
Yes.
Judge not. That's my seed.
Yes.
And you shall not be judged. There's my harvest.
Yes.
Now I can give. Woo, come on. Whatever you gave, it.
Yes.
You could just put a blank on there. Fill in a blank. It. It being what you gave.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, What you do first determines what God does next. Yes. We're not just waiting on God here. Yes. People say, well, you know, just whatever God wants is fine with me. And they think that's humble. Yes. Amen. But it says right here that you're the one that determines the size of your harvest. If you sow sparing, you're going to reap sparing. If you sow bountiful, you're going to reap bountiful. I hope I'm not going too fast, am I? I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning. I'm excited about this message, all right? Because this message has brought me to where I am today. And this message will take me where I'm going tomorrow. Glory to God. My Texas comes out in me when I get excited. And I'm not apologizing. I was born in Texas. Everybody else gets there as quick as they can. No, I'm just messing with you. We come to Florida for vacation. Amen. Beautiful place. Now let's look in verse 10. He, talking about God, he ministers or gives seed to the sower. Say, that's me. Listen, we want God to give us something, but God's looking for someone who's wanting to give something. It didn't just say he gives seed to people who are in need. Oh my gosh, let's not get on that. He did not say he gives seed to those in need. And we wonder, where's God? Don't he know the need I have? Come on, God does not give seed to those who are in need. God gives seed to the sower. Amen. God's not moved by need. You want me to tell you why God's not moved by need? And I'm talking about need that we may need to be delivered out of. Yes. Problems, circumstances. Satan creates those things. Yes. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, didn't he? Yes. Listen, if God was moved by need, then the devil could manipulate God's every move.
Yeah, that's right.
If he wanted God here, he can just create a little need over here. Yes. And God just come running. Oh, let me help you, baby. And then there's someone over here believing.
Yeah.
Come on. But there's someone over there crying.
Yeah.
So God goes, oh, baby, come here. Let me help you over here. Let me help you over here. And God, and the devil's just wearing God out.
Come on now.
No, but God created a law that would exonate the devil from your equation. Glory to God. Faith will get God's attention in your life. Smith Wigglesworth said, God will pass over 1,000 people just to find one person with faith.
Yes.
Glory to God. Faith is the great need, not the finances, yes, not the healing. Yes. Faith is the great need.
Yes.
With faith, all things are possible. Glory to God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now look at verse 10. He that, well, we already did, but we're going to start over. He that gives seed to the sower, say, that's me. It ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. So when God gives seed to the sower, it fulfills two purposes. It's to feed you and to provide you with seed for your future harvest.
Yes.
Amen. Now, you're the one that determines what part of that's going to be bread and what part of that's going to be harvest. Of course, you tithe, and then out of your heart, you give willingly. No one forces you or tells you or manipulates to you the amount. You just give out of your heart. God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And he's unwilling to do without.
Yeah.
Or to abandon a cheerful, prompt to do it giver. Whose heart is in his giving. If someone's telling you what to do all the time, it's hard to get your heart involved in that. Amen? Now, there's times where we're challenged, and it's because we need to be challenged to come up to other levels of our faith. But the majority of our time, we ought to just be given because, you know what, this just seems right to me.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes my wife and I come to church, and we're visiting different places, and we have an amount, specifically when we're going to the Hankins meetings, we have an amount because it says, you know, that we're supposed to give as we purpose in our heart. But then I don't shut the door of communication after I decide that amount.
Yeah.
Because, listen, when you want to talk to God about need, he's going to start talking to you about seed.
Amen.
Amen. And so, listen, and some needs you don't even know you're about to face. But God will get you to sow the seed when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on, so that when the need presents itself, it's already being met.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So you got to be open to bump it up.
Yeah.
Amen. Say, bump it up.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm having fun. Can you tell? Boy, I mean, because this is working for us. Amen. And it'll work for you. It's for whosoever. Amen. Whosoever will. Notice it says, though, that he will multiply the seed that you decide to sow. He said, I'm going to multiply that. All right. So notice it's what's in the ground that God multiplies. It's not what's in your hand. If you want what you have to become more, you got to get it into the soil, whatever area. People say, well, people are never friendly to me. Well, then you need to bump up your friendliness. And let me tell you this, too. Oh, my gosh. Because we know when we give our money, we're not supposed to look to the people that we gave to as the source of our harvest. But for some reason, when it comes to social things, we think if I'm good to you, by God, you better be good to me. And when you old ungrateful thing, you old stingy thing, here I am, did this for you, and you're talking to me about I owe you 20 cents. See, we already got our eyes on man. You only sow to two places, really. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You sow to the flesh, you shall you reap from the flesh destruction. You only sow to two places. Amen. Now, whoever God chooses to bring the harvest, that's up to him. Amen. Glory to God. So be good to all. Amen. You might be good to somebody, some knucklehead. That's what I call them. Amen. Just somebody that's just ugly. Amen. In many ways. But you're just sowing love and kindness. You may never see it from that person. But you know what? You're still witnessing to them. Amen. And they'll never be able to say, a Christian was never kind to me. Yes. Come on. They were never good to me. And even though I was ugly, man, this lady, man, she just kept on pouring the love onto me. Yes. But you may never see any fruit from her in this life. Yes. Amen. Amen. But you're going to reap it in this life somewhere else. Right. Whatever area, amen, that you sow in, amen, that's the area you're going to reap it from. Praise the Lord. So God multiplies your seed sown. The reason why God puts so much time in between when we plant our seed and reap our harvest. How many have realized that when you plant a seed, it doesn't just like come up tomorrow? You know, it so many people, you know, if it was just about sowing and we was going to reap it right away, everybody would be sowers. But what keeps people from being sowers is that time in between the seed and the harvest, the planting and the harvesting or the reaping. And so why does God put so much time in between the seed time and the harvest time? It's because he wants to do more than merely add to your seed. He wants to multiply your seed. So just say, God, take all the time you need to multiply my seed. Amen. The longer you're waiting is an indication of the magnitude of your harvest too. In Mark chapter 4, when Jesus gave the parable of the sower, I mean, that seed that went into stony ground, it said it sprung up, what? Quickly, immediately. But because it didn't have no depth. Come on. It withered quick. Just as quick as it sprung up, it withered. Amen. So you know, you can say thank you, Jesus, for those quick little harvests, but you know you got seed in the ground that's going to take longer than next week. It's going to take longer than next month. See, if all God wanted to do was add to your seed, he could get it to you tonight. Yes. Oh, but see, when God adds to your seed, it may take you from paycheck to paycheck. Yes, yes. But when God multiplies your seed, come on. You stop living off a week-to-week basis. Yes. You go from too much month at the end of the money to too much money at the end of the month. Glory to God. Woo! Come on. Say that. Say he's talking to me. Amen. You can have this. It's yours. Glory to God. Jesus said in John's Gospel 12:24, except a seed fall in the ground and die, or unless it gets planted, or until it gets planted, that seed abides, what? Alone. There's no multiplication of the seed in your hand. But he said, if it dies, if it gets planted, it will bring forth much fruit. Jesus was talking about himself. The greatest seed that was ever sown in the earth was the Son of the living God. Amen. Who came and died for us. He was that seed. Amen. That incorruptible seed that was sown in the earth. Praise God. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, not only did God sow his seed, but he also determined his harvest. He didn't just sow a seed and just say, you know, here you go. He had an intention for that seed. He gave his only begotten son, his only, because he wanted more. And he sowed his seed and he declared his harvest so that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Were y'all blessed by the word this morning? Isn't God good? Amen. Why don't everybody just bow your heads just for a moment? Because Jesus is the greatest seed that was ever sown in this earth. And Lord, we recognize you as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and as our friend, Lord. We're so thankful to you. If there's anyone here this morning and you've never accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus has come to offer, and you desire to do so this morning, you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, I'm going to ask that you lift your hands up right now. Today is the day of salvation. No need to wait any longer. Jesus accepts you just the way you are. You don't have to change nothing, fix nothing, you know, take care of nothing. You just come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Thank you, Jesus, for your rest. If there's anyone here, you say, you know, Pastor Joy, if I was to die today, I know I would go to heaven. I'm born again. I love the Lord, but I have not been living for the Lord like I know I should have. There's no condemnation to those in Christ. You're going to go to heaven, but if you want to fulfill everything that God has planned for you, you're going to have to be on fire. Amen. You can go to heaven with a relationship with God, but if you want to fulfill your call, you're going to have fellowship with him. And if that's you, is it all right if we just invite them to the front? If anybody, man, you know, either this is the first time you're receiving the Lord as your Savior, or you say, I'm saved, I just need to get some things right, I need some prayer, amen, I want to invite you to come up. I want to just lay my hands on you. And I believe that as I lay my hands on you, there will be an impartation that will help you to make the decisions you know that need to be made. Where you failed, where you've been weak, I believe there'll be a strength for you to overcome in those areas, and you'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you want to come up? I can pray for you right there. It's up to you. But come on up. Sometimes one person will hold the key. Everybody's thinking, well, if someone goes, I'll go away, you know. Praise God. Just right there is fine. Glory to God. Whew. God has good things for you. Amen. Are you a member of this church? Is this the first time you've attended? Your second time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't believe it's by accident or by luck that you're here today. Amen. You prayed and you said, God, send me to the right place. I see you kind of like ping-ponging a little bit. I think this could be the place for you. Amen. I believe that God can do some things for you. Amen. Glory to God. And he's healing some other areas as well. Praise. But you said, you know, I know there's some areas I need to get fixed. I need Jesus to touch. Amen. And what he's doing in you now, he's also working at home. Amen. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for strength, supernatural strength, and impartation of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? I thought so. Now, how long has it been since you prayed in tongues? Well, let's pray together right now. You can do it. Amen. In Jesus' name. He's filling you up right now. Just keep praying right there. He's filling you as you pray. If there's anyone else, you may have received the baptism, but you never yielded to speaking in other tongues. Boy, I tell you, there's an anointing here right now. You come on up here. I'm going to lay my hands on you. When I do, you're going to begin speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Churches, stretch your hands towards her. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. We love you, Lord. Kushta tata kasta takala masa. Bron gestiri takitara da baso costo. Rushta takasta. Glory to you, Lord.